Good morning and welcome to episode 4, everybody. If you've just joined us, I'm Robin at A Tired Witch on Instagram, and this is Maria, Maria the Arcane on Instagram, and welcome to our podcast.
Yeah, thank you all so much for your feedback on our show. We're so grateful for all the kind words. So truly, keep on leaving us reviews on Apple Podcasts because we love reading those and we definitely appreciate them.
Even just sending us messages has been really nice. So we appreciate it, guys.
Thank you. And thank you for sharing with everybody. We appreciate it.
So as always, we're going to start off this week with talking about the upcoming lunar phase, which is on the 22nd of this month. We are in April, right?
Oh, yeah.
So April 22nd. Yes.
What month is it?
Been in quarantine too long, guys. So on April 22nd is the new moon in Aries. It's at the very end of Aries season. Well, technically, it's end of Taurus season. And because of that, Aries season coming to an end and it being kind of between Ostara and Belton, it's a time for fresh starts and kind of focusing in on spring healing energy. You know, there's sprouts in the air, pollen and baby flowers.
And pollen everywhere.
Pollen everywhere. That's the focus of spring, guys. Really, just take your allergies up to an 11. That's what we want here. That's
the trees are
energy.
Outside doing it.
That's the new moon energy. Just sneeze. Have itchy eyes. You're welcome. But because we're in between, these two Sabbats, and because it's kind of that cusp of Aries and Taurus season, what we're really focusing on genuinely is fresh starts. So the Aries new moon is bringing like a real strong air of initiation, courage, and energy. And you can apply that to starting new projects and new things. And quite frankly, we all have a ridiculous amount of time on our hands right now.
No.
Nobody has it. So because you guys, we all have all this time on our hands, unless, of course, you're a... what's that called? Essential. Thank you. Essential worker.
Ooh, yeah.
Answer my own question.
We are so thankful for our
Very
essential workers.
Very thankful for you guys. There's not even enough time to say how much we are thankful for you guys. But aside from the essential workers who are so busy and genuinely need a break, the rest of us have so much time on our hands that if you're going to start trying something new, you should be honing in that Aries energy. So you should be doing it with confidence and just kind of going into the project knowing it's going to go well from the get-go. Like, who cares if it actually goes well? You're sat alone in your house or your apartment or your bedroom, wherever. If it doesn't go any well, nobody's going to know. No one will know. So just focus in on just being self-assured of whatever you're going to start. And don't doubt yourself. Just, I mean, take that fiery energy, guys. It's spring. It's the end of Aries season. Like, just know it's going to work. Just know.
Yeah, exactly. New moons are always my favorite. Like, don't get me wrong. I love a good full moon, but there's just something about the energy of a new moon. And like, and then the Aries new moons have always felt super special to me with it being my sun sign. I feel like it offers, as you said, a fresh start and where so many things are possible. Like, I'm legit ready to get everything done and live my best life.
This would be a time for spring cleaning too. Like, if you haven't already, like, feverishly cleaned your house for the 15th time, this would be a time where you could legitimately do that Marie Kondo thing where you're holding stuff and asking, does this bring me joy? I personally don't subscribe to that kind of lifestyle, but
me either.
I do fully believe that everyone is entitled to a full clean out at least once a year. So this would be a great time to do that. And the Aries new moon also suggests to be confident without being aggressive. And there is a difference. There is a difference between confidence and arrogance. And it's a tricky balance. But especially if you're by yourself or in a very small kind of bubble, even if there's one or two other people, like, you know, in your life that are around you, it's easier to pull it off because you don't need to really talk to anybody else while you're doing it. You can just do it. So that's the kind of energy that we're focusing at. And we all have that time to do it. So let's do it, guys. Go start a new project. Yeah, go make some soap, you know? Make some soap because you've never made soap before, probably. So just Google it, do it, and also make sure that you do a lot of research beforehand because I don't actually want you guys taking that advice and then burning your skin with lies. So.
And then you could also make candles. I mean, witches always need more candles, right?
Yeah. go decide that you're going to learn a singular yoga pose. You're like, you know what? I want to be able to do a handstand by the end of this quarantine. So start practicing on it every day and know that you're going to do it, but by the time the quarantine is up. It's having that confidence.
I'm going to be a corpse pose professional.
I'm also going to be a corpse pose professional. Where I started on that journey, and I basically, I'd say I'm already like 99% there, obviously. I don't know if you guys can tell through the microphone, but I am very fit. I'm not at all.
Me either. Once upon a time.
Once upon, yeah, same. Literally same.
Okay, so every week we talk about a specific tarot card, not going in any order through the deck, but choosing a random one to talk about. This week we are discussing the Four of Pentacles. The universal meaning of this card shows the man on this card to be something of a Scrooge, hoarding his money and keeping it to himself. It says you are being too much of a penny pincher and being greedy, that you aren't enjoying your abundance. Instead, you're just hoarding it away. The definition always reminds me of how people say, oh, I can't afford to go on this trip or go after this dream. The thing is, the more money they save up, the more they're still fearful to spend it. Mm-hmm. Now, I view this card very different from the universal meaning. I actually feel the upright universal meaning is my reverse meaning. To me, the fours are like building a house, about continuing to work on foundations while also working on the structure. The man on the card doesn't look miserly to me at all. He's lovingly holding on to his goals and abundance and that he has created for himself. This card shows me the need to invest in ourselves and our future, not just saving financially, but also going after our dreams and goals rather than focusing on meeting other people's needs. Sometimes in life, we have to be, air quote, you know, selfish in order to succeed and become better versions of ourselves. We can't be everything for everyone. And the more we put ourselves on the back burner, the more we stay stagnant in life. So yes, it isn't really about penny pinching for me, but more like I'm going to go take this trip that feeds my soul that I keep putting off. I'm going to allow myself to get this new computer so I can work more diligently. So, Robin, how do you view this card?
I do often view it as a penny pincher card. However, it's usually penny pinching for a purpose, and it is a deflection, a coping mechanism. So for me, the Four of Pentacles is very much so focusing on our money, our career, so that way we don't get too close to someone. Mm-hmm. It's being very guarded in love and then always having the excuse, oh, I would date, but I'm so busy at work, or I'm trying to get that next promotion. As soon as I get that, you know, then I'll date, or You know, as soon as I do this thing, then I'll do the other thing. And that can apply to all kinds of love, having children, spending time with your friends, whatever. And it's very much so kind of putting up that financial barrier, keeping you from getting the things that make you emotionally vulnerable, and using the excuse of finances as a inarguable excuse. Nobody's going to argue with you on your finances because, quite frankly, nobody really knows what's going on with your finances unless they're your partner or your accountant. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those things you can't argue with somebody on. So when somebody says that, just, oh, okay, like, I'm sure. And so for me, the Four of Pentacles is always using finances as a defense mechanism. But similarly, its presence also suggests that whatever, you know, financially you have your eye set on, that you will be successful.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that positive and also that kind of mental health negative all in one.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
I can totally see that. Oh yeah, it definitely makes sense.
The Four of Pentacles is very much so for me a success card, but a success at what cost?
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah, it is penny pinching to me, but it's not like, if you actually think about Scrooge, right, the character from the play. Scrooge was a miser and a penny pincher because his heart was broken, and that became his defense mechanism. You know, he had grown up poor, so he'd already had that kind of underlying ability, mentality, right? To go that direction. Mm-hmm. And then his heart got broken, so he just went full on into penny pinching and being a miser because that was something he could control. And it's the same sort of thing to me. And actually, going back to the four in numerology, like you said, it's the number of houses and structure and what is a safer, you know, defense mechanism than our financial houses. So,
yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I like that.
Thanks.
You're so smart.
Thanks. I think about it so much.
So, Robin, I was just wondering, can I change my hair blonde? Can I make sparks fly from my wand? Can I transform into an animal? Can I become the Supreme?
Yes. Abso-fucking-lutely not. Listen up, audience. Stop sending us these messages. You guys, let's talk about witchcraft in movies versus real life. Shall we, Em?
Yeah. Like, I get it. Movie magic is amazing. I love a good witchy show as much as the next person, truly. Do I wish I could sing a little song and the dishes be done? Oh, you bet your ass I do. Well, there are things witches are able to do that seem, you know, otherworldly. It's like nothing like it's depicted in the movies. While I wish I could get that letter from Hogwarts, even us 30-year-olds, but I am so sorry to be the bearer of bad news. It is never going to come.
It's never going to happen, guys. Stop sending us that message. Listen, I know Em wants to take this on a route of like, let's talk about back and forth, but I'm going to start this head on. Stop messaging me, asking me when you're going to learn to fly. The weirdly high volume of messages I get are how to turn into a werewolf. Like, what?
Yes. What? Yes. Same.
Why werewolves? Like, is there a TV show that I've not heard of or seen where you guys are just crazy about werewolves? I don't know what's going on, but y'all need to knock it off.
I don't know. Like, Teen Wolf has been, like, Teen Wolf ended, like, a long time ago.
Oh, I forgot about that show.
This shouldn't be on people's radar anymore, really.
Yeah, I forgot about that show. Girl, I don't know. I don't watch the CW.
I do. But...
Or, no, that was MTV, wasn't it? No, that was an MTV show, know. Teen Wolf.
Oh, no. I did watch some of it. I will lie.
Also, I'm totally lying. I fully subscribe to Riverdale. Like, I just, I was just saying that flippantly. But I get this disproportionate amount of messages where people have watched way too much TV. And then they message me as though it's real life. And you know what? It's not even just messages. I was talking to a friend, Ashley, about this. And TikTok especially, which I love TikTok. I recently got a TikTok. I've been really enjoying the app. It's very fun.
Addicting.
Very addicting. Too addicting, if anything. It's honestly worse than Vine was for me. And I spent a ridiculous amount of time on Vine. But anyway... There's a disproportionate amount of very young people who are experiencing and experimenting with witchcraft, which I love. Love that for them.
Yes.
But they are spreading information as though it's a fact when it's very much so movie based.
Yeah.
And that's a little stressful for me to watch. I just want to be like, no, no, stop.
Well, you remember when The Craft first came out? And like, and I remember I was in middle school at the time, and I remember there was this group of, there was a group of girls, like I was already in witchcraft, but I, as I said, I did the studying necessary, but there was a group of girls who legit were evil little beings and played out the movie basically in our middle, in our middle school, and like totally
Lord.
Yeah, poor girl that was, you know, supposed to be the lead in their heads is it was just was horrible.
I love that for them. I would love to have a child's imagination again. I really would. I just, I am like an old worn shoe. It's just dried right out of me.
Well, they were like, they were so mean. I remember they actually got like called into the office and all that for like,
really?
Yeah, they were little twats. They weren't witches. They were just acting out a movie.
Just jerks.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with being inspired by screen witches. I myself love
me
the
either.
And practical magic growing up. And I still do. Anytime I watch a witch show, it makes me want to do spell work. I really feel though, especially younger witches, it can...
Yeah.
It comes to, it's like they have this unrealistic expectations about what magic is and isn't, and are quickly let down by the fact that most magic is not seen, and it takes a lot of effort, work, and dedication.
Actually, I hate to say this because I feel like it's a little bit contradictory of myself with what I just said, but Sabrina the Teenage Witch, the new one, the Harrowing Tales of Sabrina or whatever.
Yeah.
The correspondence in that show is actually pretty much dead on. It's just how it actually, how the spell work actually, you know, manifests itself and appears is incorrect, like wildly incorrect. And now I'm not saying that all the correspondence in that show is not correct. Please, for the love of everything that is sacred, do not go and watch Sabrina and be taking notes because Robin said so. Like, don't. I didn't mean it like that. I mean, after you've done your research and then you watch that show, it's easy to see, oh, wow, they actually, the like the creators of the show, the writers maybe did a little bit of research before making this because that actually makes sense. Like if magic looked like that in the real world, the correspondence there is pretty accurate. So,
yeah. I mean, it's all about envisioning, like, you know, like, you could envision it, I mean...
To look like that?
you know, like, I like to do white light surrounding me, and is someone going to look at me and be like, wow, white light surrounding her?
Wow, they're everywhere. Amazing. We talked about this in part two, last episode, so I'm not going to get into it too much, but...
Yeah.
If you listen to part two of our last episode on the Patreon, I talked about deities and stuff and how it's an alarming trend that people feel as though deities are choosing them.
Oh, my God.
like it's a special thing that your, you know, Dionysus comes down and says, I choose you. And that is not how it works, guys. And that is very much so movie magic and not real life magic. And although mm-hmm. there is sort of an air of connecting with one deity over another one,
mm-hmm.
They are never going to like personally send you messages and choose you. Like I said this in the part two, you're not that special. Like you're just not. And that is not a knock at you. That is movie magic making you feel like you're not adequate enough if yes. you're not being chosen.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you hear like really famous witches like saying like, you know, oh, this has happened to me. And now everyone's like, well, it hasn't happened to me. Am I okay? Am I really a witch? Yes, you are. Yes,
and
you are.
I personally think that sort of misinformation is really toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big old black mark on our community. And yeah. just... There is nothing wrong with teenage witches at all. I was one. Maria was one. A lot of my friends were them. There is nothing wrong with teenage witches. But you also wouldn't.
Yeah, with all things, you have to do the research.
You have that background. Yeah. You got to do the research and real research, not research from movies. And
yes. And history books. Read your history books.
Yeah.
And, you know, real magic is like where is working with unseen energies around you to make changes. Mm-hmm. And there are huge limitations to that. You have to abide by the rules of the world and the universe, like glamour magic. You can't change your overall appearance, but you can give yourself like something where people have to take a double look because you're absolutely, yeah. you know, glowing because you're happy and, you know,
yeah.
you're confident. You can use your wand to direct, you know, energy into charming an object or casting a circle, but don't expect sparks to fly out of it. But you can't envision them. Magic without Hollywood magic is like legit amazing and life-changing if you allow it to be. But as I said, it takes mm-hmm. a lot of work. And once you get going and you see things changing around you for the better, it's addicting as well as freeing. Yeah. You don't have to see visual effects to know you're doing amazing spell work. It comes into your life in real and amazing ways.
Yeah. The only thing I would ever truly recommend if you're going to take from movie magic is if you like an aesthetic. If you think mm-hmm. an aesthetic is super pretty, use that shit for your altar, man. Go yeah. get some candles that look like that. Heck, if you want to be the kind of witch who dresses up fancy for every ritual, mm-hmm. go get a Spellman dress. Why not? There's no reason you yeah. can't. It's 2020. Wear what you want. But that's what you're taking from the movies is a cool aesthetic that you really like and you want to emulate, not thinking that you're going to turn into a werewolf or body swap.
Oh my gosh, the body swapping.
Or the perpetual amounts of messages I get. Do you perform black magic? Do you know what that is? Like, do you're asking me this and I feel like you don't even know what that is. Stop watching movies. You have lost your right to access to a television.
Black magic. Are you calling the unseen forces?
No, I don't do black magic, but I do have a migraine after that question. Thank you.
That is so funny. So, Robin, what is stirring your cauldron right now?
Thank you so much for asking, ma'am. Currently, I'm loving that everybody who is stuck home going super stir crazy is reconnecting with their craft, which is something that typically happens around springtime anyway. At least mm-hmm. I've noticed that pattern.
I think for like older witches.
Yeah. Yeah. Big time. Yeah. And I think there's something very kind of, what's the word I'm looking for here? metaphorical mm-hmm. about coming into your craft in spring, you know, a seed mm-hmm. blossoming into a flower. Oh, it's so sweet and metaphorical. Wow, so nice. But because we're all stuck at home, people have more time to actually do the studying that we've talked about and reaching out and asking questions and really kind of exploring, reading books and stuff that they maybe would not have had if we weren't all stuck at home. And I am loving that. Similarly speaking, people are taking this time to experiment with crafts and stuff in the community. And I've been seeing just in general, loads of people supporting and creating all these witchcraft related things. And mm-hmm. I'm just living for it.
Yeah.
It's real positivity. I love it.
Yeah. Like ever since I came out of the broom closet with my wife, I've been enjoying spring more. I know a lot of people think autumn is a very witchy season, which it is, but I feel like spring is also, it is such a great time to reconnect with nature because we're able to go outside more and enjoy the blooms. Now, the only season I struggle with is like summer because it's so hot in the south and I'm not near a beach.
Summer does actually make me want to die. Just in general, summer is the worst and I hate it.
Same.
I am sweaty in general. And then you put the heat with that. Ooh, girl, forget about it. No, ma'am. Mm-mm.
And as you said, like people have been so creative with their crafts while stuck inside.
They've been so creative. I've been seeing people sharing like things that they're learning and things that they like made. And I love it so freaking much. Like it's so fun. People have more time to experiment. I know I made cone incense the other day. And I shared that in Patreon, like the how-to, right?
I loved it.
So fun. I definitely think everyone should do it. But I made cone incense, which is something that I don't often do because mm-hmm. it's a whole process. It takes steps, but I had the time. So why the heck not? And it's great. I love seeing all these people, you know, reconnecting with their craft, getting outside and putting their feet in the dirt and grounding and meditating and just doing all these amazing things. Yeah. It's nice to see, especially when the world is going so crazy.
But like, I feel like modern times have really disconnected us from enjoying spring. And now that we're stuck mm-hmm. inside, you know, or, you know, at least where we have like if you have a backyard and stuff like that, we have more time to like go outdoors and connect with ourselves when, you know, like during spring, usually we're getting out of the house and we're going on trips. We're going out. Mm-hmm. We're on technology all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, none of these things are necessarily bad, but I feel like getting out of the house doesn't mean someone's necessarily going to go to the park or on a nature walk. And now we're kind of like getting sick of technology because so many of us are working from home and just staring at a screen all day. So finally, when you're able to go, you know, get off your screen, you're like, you know what? I'm going to go sit outside. I'm going to go read a book. I'm going to pull some tarot cards.
Read a book. Yeah, I'm fully in that boat. I've been making sure to get outside and walk every day. And I'm very privileged that during all this, I live in the woods. So
you're so lucky.
I can go on a 7-mile hike and not only not see anybody, but never be in risk of seeing anyone. And I know a lot of people don't have that privilege, but there are still so many things that people can do and are doing. And I love that.
Yeah.
Getting off our phones, getting off the computer and just being outside.
Yes.
Being witches. No more screens. It's so sweet, guys.
It is.
Way to be witches. I'm just so proud of you. So, Em, moving on. What is not stirring your cauldron this week?
Okay. Are you ready for some controversy?
I love a bit of controversy. I'm shaking for it.
Some people aren't going to like what I have to say, but oh well.
To preface, because I know what she's going to say, we are not adding anyone specifically. This is a generalized statement. No,
this is like all encompassing right now.
Like, this is not targeted right at anyone specifically. So if you're listening to this and you feel like it is, it's really not. I really promise.
Yes. Well, hopefully we talk about it and maybe you see things from a different perspective. We'll see. We'll see. But what is not stirring my cauldron is some witches pick and choose what scientific stuff they want to believe in, especially when it comes to things that are medical. You can't in one breath bring up scientific studies about how humans are destroying the earth and then in another say people can't be taken care of medically. That's not how any of this works. Do not get me wrong. We should all take the natural route first. But yes, if possible,
there are lots of ways that taking the natural route is not safe. For example, willow bark as an aspirin substitute. That is not necessarily safe unless you know exactly what you're doing.
Exactly. And I'm going to talk about that part too. But if you have a serious illness and it's getting worse by the minute and you're like in desperate need of seeing a doctor, I'm sorry, but no amount of vitamin C and elderberry is going to save you. But, you know,
eat your kiwis.
Science all started with alchemy, which in itself was considered witchcraft by some people back in history, as were, you know, healers were considered witches and were like, you know, burned at the stake. Science has always been put down and looked down upon because it represents progress, which scares people. People by nature are very cautious beings, weary of new things. As witches, we're supposed to be progressive while also having our feet firmly planted in the earth. Embracing science is not a faux pas. It is needed. Did you know, like as Robin said about white willow bark, we wouldn't have aspirin without it. Without mold, we wouldn't have penicillin. Without the very poisonous foxglove, we wouldn't have some cardiac medicine. All these natural things were utilized by scientists and transformed into something, in some cases, are life-saving. I mean, how freaking witchy and like spellworky is that?
Similarly speaking, you take something like foxglove, right, which has properties in it that have given us life-saving medicine. But if you were to eat a foxglove on its own, you will pass away. You need the science to get to that because it's an extract that comes out of it. And
yeah.
Oh, goodness. I just, guys, as somebody who cares a lot about holistic medicine, I know I do. I care a lot about holistic medicine. Holistic medicine is always the route that I choose first for me personally.
Yeah, that's where everything has started. From holistic medicine. Yeah,
however, I also know that essential oils are not going to, you know, keep a deadly virus away. And I use essential oils. Okay, I'm not trying to knock anybody. I use this stuff too. But there is a balance between taking the holistic approach first, and then if that's not working, we go and we seek help, you know?
Yes.
And there is no essential oil that's going to keep polio away.
Or
there
cancer.
Tea extract that is going to keep the measles away or whooping cough or freaking any one of the deadly, deadly diseases that we've eradicated thanks to science.
Yeah, and you know, we can't get mad at conservatives and assholes for posting fake information from randomly named websites
when we are
doing the same, posting about how we're all getting microchipped via vaccinations or how medicine is being
developed. Is that a real thing?
Yes!
Oh my God, I've never heard of that. That's hilarious.
You know, like, and then acting like Mother Earth, as you said, Mother Earth has side effects of her own. It's ridiculous. Even something as natural as a peanut can kill someone.
Yeah. My personal favorite anti-science conspiracy theory is that Bill Gates is trying to neutralize the entire planet through vaccines.
Oh, yeah.
That's hilarious. I've heard that. If you guys ever want to go down a little conspiracy theory hole, that's the one. That is the one.
And how 5G caused the coronavirus. Come on, guys. Come on.
Just... I'm not, like I said, not trying to knock anybody. Like I said, I take the holistic route first. Herbal medicine is something that's very important to me and I hold very dearly. When Maria had a flu a year ago, I gave her step-by-steps on how to make her own elderberry syrup and I broke her fever. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't. She made the syrup but to break her fever, but she didn't need to go to a hospital because...
Yeah.
Of holistic medicine. I care so much about holistic medicine. However, being a science denier is
dangerous. Dangerous. So dangerous.
Scary. Come on. And also, actually, on that note, I've seen this multiple times. And since we're talking about it, taking your medicine, taking your mental health medicine, taking your physical body medicine, etc., does not make you less of a witch.
Nope. No, it doesn't.
Or less of a holistic practitioner, whatever. You need those things, not just for your livelihood, but for your quality of life. And it does not make you less than or less valid for having to take those things. And anybody who tells you otherwise is a piece of shit.
Agreed. 100%. 100%. I mean... Just lovelies, you can be a witch and embrace science. I mean, you're already embracing the earth part of, you know, earth science. I mean, embrace everything. Let's not be like the Neanderthals who refuse to embrace the LGBTQ plus. Let's be progressive.
Magic is a form of science. If you think about it, you are taking, let's say, herbs just as an example, right? That have correspondences that you think if you combine these together, you will get this result, right? How is that not a hypothesis? And then you do it and you write about it in your Book of Shadows and then you have a follow-up. Like, it's a hypothesis with an experiment and a follow-up. It is a form of fucking science. So don't deny big science because it doesn't come in a cauldron.
Yes.
God, you ruffled my feathers up, Maria. It is freaking 9:13 a.m. and I'm all riled up.
This is what I do instead of coffee. I read the news and people's comments on Facebook and Instagram.
Oh, jeez. So for our last segment, just like the last few episodes, we're going to talk about some creators that we love right now. This could be anybody from creating on social media to artists, authors, you name it. That being said, before we start this segment, I'd like to remind you all again, this is not a paid for segment. This is not an advertisement. These are just people we love. Please, for the love of Christ, do not ask to be on here or otherwise. It's never going to happen. So, that being said, Em, who's your first favorite this week?
Okay, so actually, I want to talk about a book this week. I've been reading the book Psychic Witch about 3/4 of the way through it. It is so good. A lot of people ask me questions about like psychic development and stuff like that. And if you want to like increase your psychicness, I definitely recommend checking this book. Not only is Matt Arend, like, I think that's how you say his last name. I'm Matt Arend.
I think you're right.
Yeah, he writes so clear and concise. Like, he's so easy to follow and his exercises are amazing. Like, it's all about visualizing while you're meditating and trusting yourself. It's just a really great book. So if you're looking for a new book to read, Yes, it's so good. Read it. You're bored anyways. Read a book. So, Robin, what have you been liking lately?
So the creator that I am loving this week is, it's actually a tarot deck, and I do not know the creator's name. I will find it and I will put it in the caption of this episode. But the tarot deck is called Tarotorial, and she's actually sending me one so I can review it. So I've not reviewed it yet, but the concept of it is brilliant,
so good.
Especially
so good.
If you are in the beginning of a tarot journey and you're trying to learn, you know, you're trying to learn the cards. They're like flashcards for tarot. So you pull a card, it says the Four of Pentacles, like we discussed today, and it tells you on the card, you know, what elemental association it has, which would be Earth for Pentacles. It tells you the numerological four, and then gives you like keywords, upright, reverse. So that way you don't have to go look it up. You see it right then, right there, and it helps you practice. And especially if you're somebody who is a learner like that. I mean, I haven't reviewed this deck yet up in person, but the idea of it is just brilliant.
Yeah, I completely agree. And they even do like the reverse meaning on the card too. So if you pull it reversed, your reverse thing's right there also. So that's, love that.
I think it's so brilliant. I'm really excited to review it.
Million dollar idea.
Sure, our community is maybe a little bit more niche than that, but... multi-million dollar idea. Wow. I do think it's completely brilliant, though. I'm very excited to review it. The sheer idea of it to me is just, I'm obsessed. I'm very excited about it, and I think it's something you guys should check out. Like I said in the caption of this episode, I will put her Instagram or her Etsy shop, because I think it's super, super smart. And I think that especially if you're early on your tarot journey, if you are somebody who thrives with flashcards or similar, that it's a good option to take.
Yeah. I mean, it totally eliminates the need for like a book in front of you while you're doing the cards. I mean, that's pretty nice.
It is nice. And especially like if you're somebody who likes to take notes, I think... you're kind of just skipping that step of needing to have the book. It obviously would not be an option if you're trying to learn cards based off of symbolism, because the image is not on the card. But just learning keywords is good, especially if you don't want to go the Rider-Waite path. If you don't go the Rider-Waite-Smith path, where it's the cards are all based off of symbolism, so many cards nowadays, these indie cards, which I live for, do not go off of traditional RWS symbolism, and therefore, just learning the keywords, the upright, the reversal, this would be a great path to take. We hope you guys will join us on May 1st for our 5th episode, and we'll even be having a special guest next time. So keep your eyes out on our Instagrams and on our Twitter, which is Coffee Cauldrons on Twitter, for more information.
Yes, or even better, joining us on our Discord tier, which is First Coven on Patreon, so we can answer your questions for next time in our part 2.
You'll even hear our lovely voices for an additional 30 minutes. And let's be honest, you guys really need that. So if you join us on Patreon, the library tier or above, so basically everything above support us, you'll get to hear part 2.
Again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons.
With Robin at A Tired Witch on Instagram.
And with Maria from Maria the Arcane on Instagram.
You ready?
Are you ready?
Yeah. One, two, three.
Bye, bitches! We did our best!